I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. Everybody, welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This episode of Pick Six is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Joining me to keep yapping about free agency, John Breach and Tyler Sullivan. What's up, boys?
What's going on, Will?
Hi, Will. I missed you.
Excitement. I love it.
Well, you know, it's been a long time since we got to hang out.
My internet screwed up.
Little bit, I think, but you know,
I know it really has been. Yeah, I'm lagging behind. It was really bad on HQ. Yeah, I'll tell you what, why don't you take over for a second, Breach? I'm gonna restart this thing and I'll be right back.
All right, so we are literally 48 seconds into the podcast. Brinson is dipping out because his computer is broken, as we mentioned on Monday. Solly, he lost all his podcasting equipment gambling in North Carolina. Probably naturally bought some bootleg equipment off the streets, and that's what we're dealing with now. And you know what? You just make do. You make it work. You know what? This is our last show of the week. How do you think things have gone in free agency so far?
I think it's actually been pretty eventful. I know we were talking about it. You know, we were trying to grade it. I think you graded it, what, like an 8? And, you know, we were saying somewhere between 6.5 and 7. It actually has delivered. Sometimes, you know, you get so excited for these, you know, milestones in the NFL offseason calendar, and then they come and go and you don't really care. But I will say there's been a lot of storylines to take in here. There's been spite signings that we've talked about this week. We haven't talked about Calvin Ridley yet, which I know we will.
Right.
That was probably one of the biggest stunners so far. And another thing we're going to be talking about, there's like some tampering going on in the league. So, you know, and teams are under investigation. So that in itself makes it an eventful week. And I think it's been a fun free agency cycle so far.
Brinson's back. Brinson, we were just talking about how it's our last show of the week and how we feel about everything that's happened this week.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it more and more, honestly, and I think that you're probably right when I asked you like how crazy you thought it was, Breach. Like, it probably is more like an 8 or 8.5, honestly. Like, just the stuff that's been going down. It does feel like, and I think Sully had a great point, too, that it's like, all these running back, or maybe it was one of y'all two said it, but it's like it's all these skill position guys. So it does feel like it's like super fantasy oriented. This is like, you know, J.D. Eisenberg and Dave Richard are loving this free agency. Like the defensive players, not as much. Although some big news that Jacksonville might be chasing Eric Armstead just popped up right as we were beginning. Speaking of Jacksonville, Calvin Ridley, maybe the biggest surprise of free agency so far. We were talking about him yesterday. We're doing this show at 4 o'clock, new league year. We're expecting big news. We think the Jaguars are maybe finagling something where they don't have to give up a third-round pick, and they probably thought that they were. And then my favorite thing in all of free agency, regardless of what sport it is, the mystery team. The mystery team comes flying in, and the Tennessee Titans steal Calvin Ridley, the top available free agent, with a 4-year, $92 million contract that featured more than $50 million in guaranteed money. To me, Breach, our local Nashville correspondent, this felt kind of insane because Ridley's an older wide receiver. The Titans, I thought, were rebuilding. But it feels like the Titans are trying to say, all right, Will Levis, show us that you're a franchise quarterback. You better do it this year or else we're going some in a different direction.
Yeah, first let me say I'm glad you mentioned the mystery team aspect because the mystery team never pays out. They never end up with a player. It's just the mystery team is used for leverage so the guy can get a huge deal. But instead, it was the mystery team that handed out the huge contract. I think we were all stunned by this, which literally happened probably 15 or 20 minutes after we finished recording yesterday's podcast. And 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed for a guy that's a little bit up there in age. But for me, do I think they overpaid a little bit? Yes, I do. But you're the Tennessee Titans. You have to overpay if you want the free agents to come to you. That's just part, you know, if the Titans were coming off a Super Bowl appearance, if the Titans had Patrick Mahomes, you don't overpay. You let the free agents come to you. But when Will Levis is your quarterback, you have a new head coach, you have to convince the talent to come to you. That's what the Titans did there. They let the money speak. I do think they have an interesting receiving lineup now. I mean, you look at DeAndre Hopkins. Yes, he's old, but he was still productive last season. Treylon Burks, not great. He's certainly not a number one receiver, but when you throw him down to a number three receiver, I feel like maybe he could be productive. I mean, you look out what else this offense has done, adding Tony Pollard. And then you look at what Brian Callahan did in Cincinnati with Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. He likes having these three receiver setups, and that's what he's going to have in Tennessee now, right, Tyler?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's possible. I will say this, and we talked about it a little in Slack. I wrote about it because it was suggested to us to you know, at least explore the possibility of this last night. And are we 100% positive that Calvin Ridley is set to be the running mate for DeAndre Hopkins, or is he the replacement for DeAndre Hopkins? Because if you do move on from DeAndre Hopkins as a post-June 1 release, you clear about $16 million off the salary cap. And Hopkins was good last year. It wasn't his best season. Now you could chalk that up to, you know, the quarterback situation with Ryan Tannehill and then going to Will Levis as a rookie. But I don't think it's totally out of the question that he is here to replace DeAndre Hopkins. I think it'd be great, like you were saying, Brinson, that it could be, hey, Will Levis, let's see what you can do. You are now our franchise quarterback. We're giving you no excuses. We gave you a running back. We gave you a wide receiver to pair with DeAndre Hopkins. Let's see if you're the guy. But if there is a scenario where Hopkins maybe is out of shape or doesn't want to be there anymore for any sort of reason, they can get out of it. He's more expendable than he was 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And certainly, like, it's possible that Hopkins is like, I don't want to be here in Tennessee on this rebuild. It's also possible, just to play devil's avocado here, and, like, this would be kind of the nightmare situation scenario if you're Breach, because, like, what if Brian Callahan's the engine that makes the Bengals go, or was the engine that makes the Bengals go? You have Brian Callahan comes in. He brings his father, Bill Callahan, who's widely regarded. And, like, this is, like, you could, like, I mean, this is a theory we've talked about for years now, as the best offensive line coach in the NFL, and maybe, like, the best offensive line coach ever, right there with, like, Mike Munchak. Bill Callahan instantly makes offensive lines better. And so I think that's, like, an underrated story. Like, how does Cleveland's offensive line look with no Brian Callahan there? Excuse me, Bill Callahan. How does Cincinnati's offense look with no Brian Callahan? And, like, what if they're like, this Levis kid, we like this Levis kid, we think he can play. We can fix the offensive line because dad's a great coach. Now we have DeAndre Hopkins as your X, and then you use Calvin Ridley like you use Jamar Chase, moving him all around the formation, which is something Jacksonville did not do at all. And then you have Treylon Burks as sort of this move type of tight end. And then Tony Pollard, who you bought, you know, sort of buying low because he's coming off an injury season. It's like, I can sort of squint and talk myself into this Titans offense being pretty good, especially when the Jacksonville play calling and offensive scheme looks like it's and you don't really know what you're going to get out of Indianapolis because Anthony Richardson's health. And obviously Houston, I think, looks like the best team in the division, but I mean, I don't know. I'm like oddly intrigued by the Titans, but they could end up winning like three games for sure. I mean,
and it does go into our spite factor too, right? I mean, you know, division rivals swooping in. I mean, it's been a huge theme so far. We're talking about it has been oozing all over the NFL, this division on division spite signings. It's been great.
Yeah, and one thing I will say is just with the Ridley signing, is that I have seen it compared a lot to the AJ Brown. I'm not sure that's fair to the Titans front office right now, because that was a different front office that traded AJ Brown, and half the team didn't even want them to trade. I mean, we saw Mike Vrabel's look in the draft room that day. He did not want to get rid of AJ Brown. If it was up to him, AJ Brown would still be playing for the Tennessee Titans. So, and then this is a new front office giving Calvin Ridley this money, almost making up for what the last front office did, because they're saying, hey, look, we need to get a receiver in here. And it's a slightly different situation in that if you, you know, both guys, AJ Brown ended up getting a 4-year, $100 million deal with $57 million guaranteed. And that was in 2022 when the salary cap was $208 million. And now you're giving somebody a $92 million deal when the salary cap's $255 million. So I don't think it's an apples-to-apples comparison. Probably like bananas to plantains, something kind of similar, but not exactly similar. So, I mean, I understand why people are bringing it up. I don't think it's a great comparison.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, too. And, like, let's not forget that the reason that there is a new front office there is because A.J. Brown came back to Tennessee, went off for like 12 touchdowns and 6,000 yards against the Titans with the Eagles, and then John Robinson got fired a week later. So you talk about spite. I mean, that definitely fueled the change. And I agree with you. I think it's like unfair. I mean, it is one of those things you could tweet like easily and people would be like, ah! But I mean, it's like if Ron Carthen had his choice between Calvin Ridley at his cost and A.J. Brown at his cost, you're taking A.J. Brown every time. A.J. Brown's like 3 or 4 years younger than Calvin Ridley. So that's a no-brainer. Speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles, both the Eagles and the Falcons, this is some major bird bungling here. Some bird poo, if you want. I was trying to go with something in tampering. Falcons and the Eagles, both being investigated by the NFL for illegal tampering. These take place in, you know, no surprise here. You see Kirk Cousins sign really quickly with the Falcons. The NFL is checking with it because, you know, Cousins, I feel like Cousins signed, like they hammered out that deal with Cousins and he had already been checking out homes in Atlanta. That was a report out of Mike Florio reported that he was checking out schools. He and his family were checking out schools in Atlanta. And so, like, the NFL is checking to see if the Falcons tampered like before the illegal tampering period, and then with the Eagles tampering with Saquon Barkley. Sully, do you think we see anything come out of this?
I mean, you might see some sort of punishment, but I don't think it's like, you know, okay, Saquon Barkley, Kirk Cousins, you're now back into the free agent pool. You can't sign with these teams. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but could you see, you dock the sixth round pick or you find something? Sure. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, the Kirk Cousins one to me was probably the craziest because he like said in his opening press conference that he talked to like the head trainer or somebody along those lines. And you're like, wait a minute, Kirk. Maybe you shouldn't say that. That's not exactly. You can't even do that within the legal tampering period, the legal portion. I mean, all of it's silly because all of these teams do this. They have a legal tampering period. Like
it's so been going on for years, but it's like, if you're going to do a legal tampering period, you're basically saying, please tamper. Like, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. Like the NFL opened the league year on Wednesday. That's when free agency started. But all this stuff was happening on Monday and Tuesday. The NFL got sick of, like, not being able to talk about the stuff and the teams not being able to, like, you know, reference it. And it was all, you know, very, like reports and all this stuff. And it was so stupid. So they bumped back the legal tampering period. Well, now teams have just started tampering earlier. And you know they're tampering at the combine. That's all the combine is that one big tampering period. Breach looks skeptical.
Everybody says that is the spot every offseason where all the rumors and all the teams start talking.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you guys that it's senseless, but like all you have to do is not talk about tampering. Like that's it, and you get away with it.
That's literally the fight club
of NFL rules. You just don't talk about it, and it's not an issue. You can't have Kirk Cousins come out in his press conference and mention talking to the trainer like you guys mentioned, and you also can't have a college head coach, James Franklin, say, hey, yeah, I talked to Saquon. He told me he talked to Howie Roseman. So like, yes, it's third hand, but you still are second hand. You still can't have that. You can't have
Is that how it happened with the Saquon thing? Is freaking James Saquon Franklin said something? Unbelievable. James Franklin's a clown, man.
Yeah, he said that Saquon had told him that he was talking to Howie Roseman. So I don't know how you spin that. And so if you're the NFL, you're only going to investigate if it is blatantly obvious. And that's what happened here. I mean, And we look at when's, you know, the Dolphins, when they tampered with Tom Brady and Sean Payton, they got hit pretty hard. They lost the first round pick. And I don't think that's going to happen here. But I do think that these both seem like pretty clear instances. And I won't be surprised if they end up both losing maybe a day three draft pick.
I think a day two pick wouldn't be out of the question, because you are talking about a situation with Minnesota where, like, if Atlanta isn't able to sell him on coming to the Falcons, like, for the Giants at Saquon and Philly, it's like, I mean, they weren't signing him anyway. What do you care? But with Cousins, the Vikings wanted him back and, like, expressed how badly they wanted him back. And they would have had a much better chance at bringing him back if Cousins wasn't, like, checking out Atlanta, his wife wasn't finding these great schools in Atlanta. There's a bunch of great private schools in Atlanta for kids like their age. Like, I mean, so it's buying some nice house in Buckhead, I'm sure. Like, figuring out, like, oh, great, you know, we're so, this training facility is so easy to get to. Like, we like Arthur Blank. Like, I mean, like, you're talking to everybody in Atlanta. You find this situation to be very palatable, and then you you're energized by it. You know they're going to give you all this money, this guaranteed cash. They're going to build around you, and so it's like all this stuff. Like they sold him on it before. You know, they were really capable, you know, like, before it was legal. And so I think, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they took a second round pick away from the Falcons for that.
I just think that might be a little bit too steep. I mean, Breach, you mentioned the Brady one.
Took the Dolphins first-round pick.
But I'll tell you this. That was because it was when he was a member of the New England Patriots. He was still under contract with the team. And I guess you could technically say that Kirk Cousins was still under contract.
He's still under contract.
But he was like a free agent, like about to be a free agent.
Well, no, and like your point, I mean, Kirk Cousins did say he was going to explore free agency, he was going to check out his options, and the Vikings knew that. But remember, that clause is in the contract with Cousins and the Vikings deal, where if they didn't re-sign him before Wednesday at 4 p.m., then they have a $28 million cap hit. So they still have that cap hit, right, even though they didn't sign him? Or is that only if they signed him after that?
I am not 100% sure on that. You might have to look that up.
But that's the point.
I see what you're saying. It's more, I just think it's a little more inbounds, certainly still out of bounds. You're breaking the rule. I just think it's a little bit more inbounds because it was pretty much within the window of the legal tampering period. Again, we don't know what was happening before that. I'm sure an NFL investigation will do that.
Yeah,
I think they'll get hit with something, but I don't think it's going to be a first round pick. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misreading it, but I just don't know if it's going to be that level of a day one or day two pick. I think it's maybe a high day three, if anything.
The Dolphins thing also, and Harry's in the chat screaming like, take away their first. I get it. Like, if I was a Dolphins fan, I would want them to lose first as well. But the Dolphins thing also is like, you were orchestrating like the removal of a head coach who had multiple years left on his contract, as well as a quarterback. And so, like, there were lots of organizations involved. It's also a division rival. It's the greatest quarterback of all time. Stephen Ross got suspended for it. Like, we haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anything from.
Well, he got it. He invited him onto a yacht. He brought him on the yacht. Yeah. Remember?
And I think too that, like, that is, you haven't heard anything like Arthur Blank, you know, flew Cousins on a private jet to Atlanta. It's more like, all right, like, you know, we want to make sure you've seen every, you know, like, you've checked everything out. Like, the Falcons, you know, the Falcons can claim, like, hey, look, you know, we just put out the vibe, man. Like, we just, you know, Dumb and Dumber, you're just sticking your hips out at the bar, like, you know, showing it off and letting the ladies know. I think the Stephen Ross thing is like, Bob Kraft has so much sway in, you know, in the league office, and it's so disrespectful for Stephen Ross to, like, bring Tom Brady. It's like slap in the face to Bob Kraft, right? To Robert Kraft, to do that. Whereas, like, you don't really have the same thing with, like, Arthur Blank and the Wilf family here. So I think, you know, like, that probably had a lot to do with the first round pick. All right.
Yeah, I would say so. I love
when teams start, like, sniping each other. And, like, look, the Giants, I mean, you know, the whole Tiki Barber thing blew up where it's like, you're dead to me. The Giants, the fact that he signed with the Eagles is the only reason the Giants would, like, pursue any kind of, like excessive tampering charges, in my opinion.
Well, and the other part, Saquon was actually asked about the Howie Roseman stuff today. He said, Coach Franklin, I think, kind of misinterpreted it. The truth was that the sales pitch was Penn State. How many Penn State fans are Eagles fans? but through my agent. My agent told me that. That is what that's Saquon's story, and he's going to stick to it. I don't know what the Falcons story is going to be because Kirk is literally on video admitting to tampering. So that one's a little different.
So, by the way, there's like an angry Vikings fan out there who posted a it's like Kirk saying, I want to retire as a I'm going to use this. I'm not going to put 50 cents in the swear jar because I'm quoting him. But he's like, I want to retire as a Redskin. And he's like, I want to retire as a Viking. And he's like, I want to retire as a Falcon. And these Vikings fans are mad about it. It's like, you pay him. He would have stayed there. It's not like this guy is like, so, you know, he would have stayed in Washington. He wanted to stay in Washington. He wanted to stay in Minnesota. He loved it. Yeah, but then he didn't want to pay him. And now I got to tell you, and just while we're here on the Falcons, Harry will probably kill me. Well, you know what? I'm going to move it up. We'll move up just real quickly. Whatever. We'll do the Eric Kendricks deal. I was going to try and finagle the Rondale Moore trade, but it's after the break. I don't want to mess with Harry. He's had enough of me for the week. Eric Kendricks bailed on his deal with the 49ers. And breaking news, the Cowboys made a move. I don't know if you guys saw it. I tried to joke about this on HQ, and I don't think it landed. It's really more of a podcast joke. Yeah, but Ian Rappaport like quote tweeted it. That's how viral the guy went. But like, there's a Cowboys fan who tweeted, "If the Cowboys don't make some kind of move in the next hour, I'm going to start doing meth." Like 59 minutes later, the Cowboys stole Eric Kendricks from the Niners and signed him. It's like rap sheet quote tweeted was like, "That was close." I don't know why like that cracks me up so much, but I mean, I think like, man, Cowboys fans. Jerry Jones comes out of the combine and says, like, we're going all in this year, like, shoving it all in, going for everything this year. And they have done almost nothing. Eric Kendricks, really the only signing breach.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations. It is surprising on the surface, but according to Mike Silver from the San Francisco Chronicle, he said the Cowboys came back, offered more money, and offered a second year, where the 49ers, I'm thinking, we talked about this a little bit, where it made sense because he's kind of the insurance for Drake Greenlaw. And so if you're Kendricks, you're like, well, what happens if Greenlaw is fully healthy? Am I just going to ride the bench the rest of the season, play 20% of the snaps? I don't want that. I want more. And then you also have Kendricks going to reunite with Mike Zimmer, who was his head coach in Minnesota for 6 or 7 seasons. So you get to immediately go into a defense you'll be familiar with. You get more money and you get an extra year. That seems like a good reason to jump ship, spurn the 49ers go to Dallas and keep that one dude from doing meth.
I mean, that's first and foremost, right? I mean, it's just that was remarkable. There's been a lot of social media stuff with the Cowboys and their lackluster offseason so far. That's actually been like straight up comedy. It's been great, but he fills in for Leighton Vander Esch, who it seems like he's going to retire and move on. So there's a starting role there, as you were saying. You know, not necessarily 100% sure what it was going to be with San Francisco if everybody is 100% healthy. I did think, and it's probably out of bounds, but I'm like, did the Cowboys just get bullied into giving him more money? Like, did Jerry Jones get trolled so bad that they're like, all right, let's just go the extra mile for the extra year and more money? I could totally see it. I'm like half kidding. I could see them in a world just be like, all right, well, we're getting kind of dragged here. We're literally the only team that hasn't made a signing yet. Let's just bump our offer to Kendricks.
I don't think that that's that crazy of an idea, to be honest. I mean, like, it has been pretty wild just how inactive the Cowboys have been. Although I will say that when we talk about free agency, so very often the teams that make the big splash moves, it doesn't end up panning out. And the teams that are, like last year, Houston wins a division title, obviously because of CJ Stroud in the draft, but also because they made a bunch of like smaller moves on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, Belichick, the Patriots dynasty was sort of spurred by the defense, and he would go out and signing all these sort of, you know, like going out and like getting Mike Vrabel on the cheap from, I think he like signed Teddy Bruschi, or maybe he drafted him. It's a lot of times it's not these splash signings. Like the Titans were like, oh, Ridley, you know, it's like the Titans can stick next year. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising at all. All right. Cardinals got rid of DJ Humphries. He was actually drafted one of their first round picks a long time ago. Released him after 9 years. He's coming back from a torn ACL. They suffered on New Year's Eve, so he wasn't going to be ready to start the season. And then they signed former Bengals first-round pick Jonah Williams on a 2-year, $30 million deal. I think you're going to have to do it. DJ Humphries, like, I mean, he's been in Arizona forever. And, it's an upgrade from a guy who's injured who wasn't going to be ready to start the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that you say it right there. I mean, a guy that was not going to be available to you. And this is a move that really bummed me out because I wanted the Patriots to go after Jonah Williams to fill their left tackle spot with Trent Williams gone. So there's another one for New England not fulfilling their or finding their guy. But you pretty much, if you're Arizona, you already have your quarterback in Kyler Murray. We all assume they're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. with the number 4 overall pick. You solidify your offensive line. You see what you have in year 2 with Jonathan Gannon as your head coach. I don't hate this move at all.
Yeah, I think one thing that's interesting here, and look, as a Bengals fan, I think a lot of people were worried about Jonah Williams leaving Cincinnati or losing your right tackle is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But before the season, remember, Jonah Williams had to flip from left tackle to right tackle because the Bengals signed Orlando Brown last year, and we had Jonah Williams demand a trade. He said, you know what, I'm just going to suck it up. I'll play the season. I'll hit free agency next year. And he actually played pretty well at right tackle, which makes me wonder what the Cardinals will do with him, because I could see him sticking at right tackle. His Cardinals do have Paris Johnson, who could play left tackle, but I don't think he would play right tackle. So I think you're in a situation where now you have two tackles. You just have to figure out which side each guy is going to go on. But just that Jonah Williams was so good at right tackle last year, or played well enough that I could see him playing right tackle in Arizona. And the money suggests maybe right tackles. I feel like a left tackle maybe would have gotten a little bit more. That is my theory.
Well, I think too. Like if you drafted Paris Johnson with a first round pick, did he play right? Did he play right tackle last year?
Yeah,
he played left tackle. Yeah, he played right tackle last year. So like the question is, do you want to move him over? I mean, I think that's a great point there, because I think like you want to have consistency with these young players, these tackles, because it is like, I think it goes under the radar, like switching sides and playing tackle, like you're doing everything opposite in terms of like your movements, and it's like you're getting different types of pass rushers. It's a whole different ball game. But if you're going to move somebody, I think you would want to do it you would want to do it now. Like, if you're going to move Paris Johnson to the left side, you would want to do it now. Establish him as your left tackle in the future. And then you have Jonah Williams, who plays right tackle, as you point out, Breach, with that money. Arizona also made another move. Ooh. It involved the Falcons. And we'll tell you about it coming up after the break.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
College basketball season. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/@NFL and CBS. Of course, tons of great basketball on CBS. Shout out to my man, Matt Norlander, for breaking a bunch of coaching scoops out there as well. That ad, though, there's like a shout in the middle of it. It freaks me out every time that we hear it. Anyway, Rondale Moore former second round pick, I believe, for the Cardinals and former starting quarterback Desmond Ridder for the Falcons. The very rare player-player straight-up swap. No picks involved. The Falcons send Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals. He'll be their backup quarterback. They clear out the depth chart behind Kirk Cousins, who they just signed. And they get Rondale Moore continuing to pile up former, like, highly touted, wide receivers and just getting Kirk Cousins' weapons. I mean, they had Drake London already, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. They go out and spend $39 million to get Darnell Mooney, and they also added Ray McCloud in free agency. So now it's London, Mooney, Rondale Moore, Ray McCloud. They got Kadarius Hodge in there. He's done some nice stuff, did some nice stuff with the Lions previously. And then Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. I mean, this is a team that said, all right, Kirk, clearly they told Kirk Cousins when they were tampering with him, that they were going to look, we're going to make sure we get you all the weapons you need on this roster. So that way you can, like, we can have an explosive offense. And I mean, it is hard not to be kind of pumped about the Falcons this year.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we said it when they signed Kirk Cousins to begin with that, you know, he makes them the favorites in that division. But we also noted that when they signed Darnell Mooney, they needed a lot of help at wide receiver. I know we always talk about, oh, well, they have Drake London, they have Kyle Pitts, they have Bijan Robinson, all these first-round picks that they use. You looked at that wide receiver unit before all of these moves, it was just Drake London, and really that was it. So you needed to go after Darnell Mooney. You did need to kind of make these moves. I love this move. I don't understand what the Cardinals were doing here. I love this move for the Falcons to get Rondale Moore, a speedster. Again, he's not going to be like your number one wide receiver or anything like that. He's probably going to be like your number three or number four, but highly touted guy, as you said, and you got him for a dude that you already replaced like 2 days ago. I mean, to me, that just seems like a great move for Atlanta.
Yeah, I was. I wrote the story for this trade. I graded the trade. I gave the Falcons an A because, like Tyler said, it's a guy you were getting rid of, Desmond Ridder. It's not like when you have a first round quarterback doesn't pan out, like the Bears, for instance, Justin Fields. If the Bears don't get much in return, they're going to get panned, and rightfully so. But if you're the Falcons, this guy was a third round pick. He didn't work out. That's fine. It's a third round pick, and you got Rondale Moore, who is probably going to play quite a few snaps for you in 2024. If Ridder had stayed for some reason, he's the backup quarterback. He's not playing any snaps unless Kirk Cousins gets injured again. So this just seems like it is unbelievable that a former second-round pick and Moore, who has been in the NFL for three seasons and had 40 receptions, at least 40 receptions in each of those three seasons, and he should be getting the easiest coverage out there. As you guys mentioned, he's the number three guy behind Drake London and Darnell Mooney. So it is really interesting that the Cardinals were willing to make this deal, especially because Hollywood Brown's hitting free agency. So now the Cardinals are losing two of their top four receivers. What are they doing? So I gave the Cardinals a C, though, because they do need a backup quarterback. I don't think they should go in the season with Clayton Tune. Desmond Ridder does fill that need. But, man, why are you giving up a receiver when you don't have any receivers left?
Especially when you factor in, like, if Desmond Ridder is starting for you, you're screwed anyway. Like, you're done. You're toast. I mean, ask Arthur Smith. You know, I mean, started the season for the Falcons and that got Arthur Smith fired. I think there may be some, the question is, like, all right, you go pay Kirk Cousins a bunch of money. Like, I understand why Atlanta was like, all right, we got Taylor Heineke, who we signed to this deal. We just gave Kirk Cousins a ton of cash. Ridder didn't work out, and maybe there's some personality issues there. Just in terms of they wanted to get the quarterback room right, and Zach Robinson decided, all right, we want Heineke and Kirk Cousins. Maybe we'll draft somebody late. I would almost guarantee that this is a team that drafts somebody late because of Kirk Cousins' age, and so because of that, you're not going to keep Ridder, so it makes total sense to do it. I agree with you, the Rondale Moore, a nice get back. I mean, he can do some fun stuff. Like, you get the ball at the line of scrimmage and watch him explode. You get him some good blocking, some screen stuff. I think it's a good move. Kendall Fuller to the Miami Dolphins. Xavier Howard out. Kendall Fuller in. 2 years, $16.5 million. Wouldn't we be talking about Kendall Fuller signing with the Dolphins if Harry wasn't a Dolphins fan? I'm just kidding. It was actually a big day four signing, I think.
Yeah, I would say. Look, you cut Xavier Howard. You're saving money. This is cheaper than what you would have paid there. And Kendall Fuller was arguably the top corner left in free agency. And if you're the Dolphins, I'm sure Dolphins fans were wondering, who are we going to have in the secondary this year? And I think they made a couple of moves today. And so, yeah, I mean, Kendall Fuller played really well with the Commanders last season. And if he continues to play like that, then that is definitely good news for Miami. And you look at what he's up against, you know, in the NFC East, you have to worry about CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown. You're just, there's a lot of guys, but now that he's in the AFC East, I mean, whoever the Patriots have, because you don't know who the quarterback is throwing the ball to those receivers. Yes, you have Josh Allen, but Stephon Diggs is just all over the place, even though he's a very good receiver. So it is interesting to see, and you know, the Jets, Garrett Wilson, but I think that Fuller can be successful in Miami.
Well, not only that, I mean, he was asked to cover those guys in Washington. Now he might not even be asked to do that because you have Jalen Ramsey there. So, I mean, this secondary is really starting to take shape here. I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Jordan Poyer on Jordan a one-year small money deal at safety. All right. Jalen Ramsey, Poyer, you have Javon Holland. You have now – you're making the move for Kendall Fuller. I'm starting to really like what they're kind of forming here, which makes a lot of sense.
They got Jordan Brooks, too, and Shaq Barrett.
It just makes a lot of sense.
Obviously, not the secondary, but, like, improving the defense in general.
It's kind of what they were trying to do last offseason, I thought, when they got Jalen Ramsey. It's kind of the counterpunch for, okay, we have to face Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. We have to face Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. How do we stop them? Do we have to ask Tua Tagovailoa to just go nuclear with Tyreek Hill and go toe-to-toe? Sure, you could try to do that. But also, let's try to get him on the back end with the secondary as well.
No, I joked about talking about Fuller. I mean, I think we would have brought it up anyway, of course. But I do think you're right, Sully. I mean, this is sort of like, you know, you mentioned like the Texans and what they did last year to go and get – like the Dolphins had cap problems. They had let Christian Wilkins walk. You know, they looked like they were having a rough offseason, but they've done a really nice job sort of being frugal and signing some of these, you know, second wave type of players, guys you got cut by their teams that, you know, could actually end up putting together a pretty nice little defense in Miami. I think good job by Miami the last couple of days. DJ Reader just signed with the Lions. Detroit beefing up the middle. What do we think about this breach?
Man, we talk about Jonah Williams now. Reader, the Bengals just bleeding guys out left and right. The one thing I will say is that one thing DJ Reader did well was just plug up the middle in Cincinnati, and that's the kind of run stuffer you really want. I'm a little disappointed the Bengals let him walk, but I also understand why they did. He's going to be 30 years old. He's been dealing with some nagging injury issues, but I do understand why the Lions signed him, because you do need that run stuffer in the NFC North. I mean, you look at what the other teams in that division did. The Vikings get Aaron Jones. The Packers get Josh Jacobs. The Bears get DeAndre Swift. So you're talking about a division where running the ball is big, and you kind of need that big guy in the middle. So I like this signing for Detroit.
And, I mean, they made that a huge priority last year, too. I mean, they were the number two in the league in rushing yards per game allowed. I mean, they were putting an emphasis on stopping the run. I kind of thought that, this is more of a luxury addition, I would say, if you're the Detroit Lions. Really, I think we're all looking at the secondary to see how they're going to fix that. They've obviously started to do that in free agency. I like it, but again, it's something that it's more of a luxury pick than it is, or luxury signing than it is actually filling a need, because again, they were one of the best teams in the NFL at stopping the run last year.
Well, they lost. Did they lose Tyson Alualu? Or is he still? No, he's still on the roster. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. It's a little bit of a luxury pick, but you know, one of the ways you can do one. So, like, look, you got a bad secondary, one of the worst secondaries in the league. You need to fix the secondary. It's not just as simple as go sign cornerbacks and fix secondary. It doesn't always work like that. And I think, you know, sometimes you see with teams that are suffering in terms of their production on the back end, go lean into your strength and improve your defensive line. And then these guys don't have to cover as long. Now, I still think you'll probably see them chase after some cornerback help, either in the second wave of free agency or, in the draft. But like,
well, we now see you them have straight. They traded for Carlton Davis. So
yeah, they traded for Carlton Davis. Yeah. Sure.
And then with the pass rush you just mentioned, Brenton, they also signed Marcus Davenport. So they have absolutely been trying to improve the pass rush, which, like you said, should help the secondary as long as that pass rush is better.
And you talk about building on your strength. Yeah. And just real quickly, you know, yes, that makes a lot of sense just in general. But as you were kind of alluding to, Breach, this division is going to run the football a ton. I mean, you look at what the Packers just did with Josh Jacobs. The Aaron Jones is now with the Minnesota Vikings. The Bears have going to have a rookie quarterback, and they just signed DeAndre Swift. they're telling you, the rest of the division, that they're going to run the football, put some emphasis on running the football. So maybe it is wise to beef up that piece of something that you already were pretty strong at.
I mean, you've got DJ Reader, Aleem McNeil, shout out to State Drink. You got Marcus Davenport and Aiden Hutchinson. Like, that is a really interesting front four that if they stay healthy can get after people. Like Marcus Davenport, you know, remember, I don't know if you guys remember the draft when the Saints traded up for him, traded a future first to go get him, and everybody and their brother on the entire world thought it was for Lamar Jackson. It was like, oh my God, Sean Payton and Lamar Jackson. And then it was like, hello, like, what do you just did that for Marcus Davenport? As a second pass rusher, though, he's a much more intriguing player than he is trying to be like the guy on the edge. I don't know. I think I love the Lions. Always love the Lions. Love them a little bit more after this move. Also love the Indianapolis Colts a little bit more after they went out and got my guy, Joe Flacco. Joe Cool signs a 1 year, $4.5 million. Get Joe Flacco out here, 40 years old, getting $4.5 million from the Colts to be their backup. He might not have to play a snap. He might play 17 games for all we know. Anthony Richardson played three games last year, didn't finish two of them, and the Shane Steichen offense asked him to do a whole lot in terms of running the football and taking big hits. I would definitely, if I set the over under at half a start for Joe Flacco, you take the over, I think.
Absolutely.
I think the over at 3.5.
Right. Yeah. 2.5, half a game. Of course, I could certainly see that. To me, though, the only thing that I kind of, and I guess it's the same argument for Gardner Minshew, too. It's, I just don't know why they wouldn't bring in a backup quarterback that would have a similar skill set to Anthony Richardson. Now, he has a special skill set, which is hard to find, but I still don't know why you have Anthony Richardson and then Joe Flacco as your primary backup. It's just two totally different styles of quarterback.
Yeah, and you see that teams usually do that. I mean, we saw the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley. It's just you have pocket quarterback, mobile quarterback. Now you just have two complete contrasting styles where I guess Shane Steichen is just going to rip one part of the playbook out if Anthony Richardson goes down. And because Gardner Minshew is a little mobile. He's not Anthony Richardson, obviously, but I wouldn't even say he's the same style as Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson. He's just somewhere in between. But Joe Flacco is a statue. Anthony Richardson is a athletic specimen. But yeah, I do agree with you guys that you don't know how long he's going to last with that playing style. We saw him go out early this past season. So it won't be surprising if Flacco plays. I actually think he could be successful in the type of offense the Colts could run with him with the weapons they have. So this is a good landing spot for Joe.
Two things I would point out. One, it would be absolutely hilarious if Shane Steichen just ran the same offense with Joe Flacco as he runs with Anthony Richardson. Joe Flacco like trying to run people over. And then two, I can't remember who said it, but it was somebody credible who had like either worked with teams. I want to say it might have been Nate Tice, but I don't want to say it was him if it was somebody, you know, somebody else. But Steichen even came out and said that to him, it's not a big deal to have a backup with a similar thing. I had actually never heard people say that. I agree with your theory. Sorry, I'm not crapping on anything. But it's like Steichen apparently doesn't consider that to be a big deal and sort of just has like literally just has pages of the playbook. He's just going to like X out if he's not going to mention you running read option and stuff like that. So for whatever tour, somebody mentioned that. I just don't have it offhand who it was. Von Bell leaving the Carolina Panthers, returning from whence he came to your Cincinnati Bengals, John Breach. 1 year, $6 million. You happy with that?
I am thrilled with this. Look, if there is one thing the Bengals defense struggled with last season, it was the safety position. You had a couple guys back. It seemed like the Bengals had to do something. And we saw them go out and get Geno Stone, which I would have been thrilled if they stopped there and did not get anyone else. But then they go out and they reunite with an old friend. And the thing I like about Von Bell is that he was really successful during his three seasons with the team. I mean, he was the full-time starter. He was there. He was a veteran leader that they needed. And so you bring him back. And not only do you bring him back, but the Panthers are paying a salary because he's got one of the Russell Wilson deals where I think he had $6 million guaranteed with the Panthers. So he just took a minimum salary deal with the Bengals. And this is Cincinnati saying, hey, look, we tried it with Dax Hill. We tried it with Nick Scott last season. They already cut Nick Scott. And we think we'll be much better off with Von Bell and Geno Stone. And I think they're right. This makes their defense a lot better, getting Bell and Stone.
Yeah, I'll just agree with Breach on that. I mean, you had such a drain last year, losing Jesse Bates and Bell in the same offseason. That's just, you know, it's tough. So you bring him back, and as you mentioned, Breach, you're not even paying for him. Like, it's a slam dunk no-brainer. A dude that knows the system and who's free? Yeah, I think any team in the NFL would want that.
You know, it's really fascinating. The Carolina Panthers are just a gift to keep on giving when it comes to, like, you got Von Bell for free. I mean, basically, it's unbelievable. Carolina having an incredible offseason. All right, we're going to take a break. But first, brackets are back, and you can get in the madness today on the CBS Sports app. Run men's and women's pools with friends and enter our bracket challenges for the chance to win a new Nissan Rogue and trips to the 2025 Final Four. Play today on the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/play to sign up. No purchase necessary. See terms and rules for details. All right, next, we will look at homes for the best remaining free agents. Next.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okie dokie. Let's find some homes for free agents who are still out there. I got to say, like, Tyron Smith is probably a Hall of Famer. I mean, I don't know if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Ryan Wilson would get all up in arms if I suggested that. But, like, Tyron Smith was in, like, a top 3 left tackle for like 7 years at least. I mean, he was in Dallas. He was drafted in 2011. He's in Dallas for like 12 or 13 years. Played at a really, really high level. When he was out, they would crater in terms of the quarterback play, and he's still out there. A little surprising, Sully.
Yeah, I mean, if we're trying to play matchmaker, I will gladly take him up here, show him all the Dunkin' Donuts in the land. I will gladly take Tyron Smith with the New England Patriots because, again, they're a team that needs a left tackle. Trent Brown's gone. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a very clear path to getting one in the draft. I mean, you could find one on day 2, but we all think that number 3 is earmarked for a quarterback, and then you're at the top of day 2. Sure, but that's a lot of blind faith to put in for a rookie quarterback to have a rookie left tackle. If you could put in Tyron Smith for a season or two or however long you can sign him for a rookie quarterback to develop, that's going to help you immensely. I mean, we saw what happens with these rookie quarterbacks if they're completely under siege the entire time. It ruins their development. And so if the Patriots or a team like that that has a young quarterback could land him, I think that would make all the sense in the world.
Yep, I'll just echo what Solly said. I had the Patriots down as my number 1 and the Cowboys as number 2. So I think it makes sense. I know the Cowboys are kind of on the fence. I think Smith would go back to Dallas. I don't know. It's probably going to come down to how much money he was willing to not take if you were to go back to the Cowboys. But, yeah, the Patriots make all the sense in the world.
I wonder what the Cowboys – it's just weird. I mean, maybe it's like an injury or an age thing. I wonder if the Cowboys – because the Cowboys want to move Tyler Smith to left tackle, I believe. And so I wonder if it's either like a money thing, the Cowboys want to play. Like, dude, if you're Tyron Smith, you are – I mean, he was so young when he was drafted. So I'm gonna double check how old he was. Like, he might have been 21, but he was drafted, maybe like 19 when he was drafted. The dude's 33 years old. That's crazy. He was drafted in 2011. Like, I mean, that is wild. I just wonder if you've been living in Dallas that long, and like this is probably your last contract. You're like, you know, you're gonna retire like maybe 3 years at most. do you really want to like move? I mean, I know these guys move all the time, but like, you're like, dude, Jerry or Steven, just like give me some money and let me come back. But do you want to move to right tackle? I sort of wonder if that's why he's just sitting out there. Like, he's letting people know he's planning on going back to Dallas, but he doesn't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if there's something like that out there.
Do you also think that he could be a guy that just kind of waits it out? We're talking about him, you know, during the summertime and see, hey, okay, if there's an injury in camp for the Cincinnati Bengals or the Kansas City Chiefs or the Baltimore Ravens, you know, is he that type of guy that says, hey, maybe it's not to go to Dallas and just stay at home or not go to New England and get paid, but maybe it's a place to go win.
I don't think that's crazy, because once you get up there in age, once you're 32, 33, 34, you don't want to be at every day of these OTAs and this offseason stuff. So if you wait until July to sign, then it's like, okay, I'll show up for training camp. I got four months off, so I'm a lot better. And the one thing I will say is that Stephen Jones was asked about Tyron Smith today on Thursday. And this is from a good friend of the podcast, Patrick No C. Walker. And this is what Stephen Jones said. Nobody thinks higher of Tyron than we do. We haven't shut the door on a continued career here with the Cowboys. So still open, still possible.
Sounds like those two sides are just going to flirt for like the next like couple of weeks and then finally figure something out. Like just get a room already, guys. All right, Cameron Curl. Safety Cameron Curl. Once upon a time on Pete Prisco's top 100 list. Last offseason, Pete's like, I'm smarter than everybody else. He's on my top 100 list. Well, Pete, now he's a free agent. He's unsigned. Sully, you got any landing spots for Cameron Curl?
I've been scratching my head. I've been trying to figure out what's a great spot for him. It's not the easiest landing spot for him. So, Breach, if you have one, let's hear it.
You know what? I will go with the Seahawks. I think Mike McDonald could make him work. Look, they did they cleaned house. You know, Jamal Adams is gone, and it is tough coming up with a good fit. I think they have probably Rayshon Jenkins and maybe Julian Love penciling at safety up there. So I'm not sure. You know, the Seahawks aren't going to break the bank to sign Cameron Curl, and I'm sure he is looking for a pretty good deal. So from a financial aspect, I'm not sure if it would work, but I could see McDonald being open to signing him.
I'll throw out and sorry, Sully, I didn't mean to hand up. That's on me for putting the spot. Maybe that it's, I think it's a tough one finding landing spots for like safeties and day five and free agency. I'll say the Carolina Panthers just lost Von Bell. I mean, like you know, you need help on the defensive side of the ball. You traded Brian Burns, you know, you lose a starting safety, you trade a starting cornerback in Dante Jackson, you're probably gonna cut anyway. But like the Panthers defense, which was sort of a strong suit last year, is really hammering some players. So I think if you're Carolina, yeah, it's a late free agency. Go out and find some veteran signings. Make some smart moves. Go get Cameron Curl. And while you're at it, go get the third guy on this list, Chase Young, who you might have to pay a lot of money for. But Chase Young, I think, visiting Carolina. And Jadeveon Clowney also visiting Carolina. So we can sort of use both of those guys in this spot. I'll say Panthers are a good look for any of these defensive players, especially the edge guys, if they're losing Brian Burns in that trade to the Giants.
Yeah, that's the one that I was going to say was the Carolina Panthers. Like you said, you lose Brian Burns. He's a Gamecock. It just feels like there's just a lot of lineage there that would make a lot of sense for Chase Young. And this is a stupid reason to do it, but it's a name. It would create a little bit of buzz for this Carolina Panthers team. Like, you're like, okay, Chase Young, like we're bringing somebody in. We didn't just have nobody to place Brian Burns. Not that that's the best situation or best reason to sign somebody, but he's talented. He's still young. And that would make sense.
Yeah, I agree. I would put for my landing spots, I had Clowney in Carolina and Chase Young going to New Orleans. So both guys ending up in the NFC South. I think Chase Young was also visiting the Saints. Brinson, you said he visited the Panthers. So it seems like a pretty safe bet that he is going to end up in that division. And I doubt they signed both of them. So I think that
right,
if they sign one of them, the other guy will end up somewhere else. So I'll say Clowney, Panthers, Young, Saints.
Former Miami Dolphins cornerback, Xavien Howard. Once upon a time, I think Xavien Howard was an All-Pro, I believe. At the very least, made Pro Bowls. He was like considered one of the top corners in the league. Anybody got a landing spot that they like for Xavien Howard?
I would say the Detroit Lions. Again, we were talking about them earlier to fix their secondary. all, you know, again, you're trying to compete in the NFC. At some point, you're going to have to go through these elite quarterbacks and stop the pass. I know we're talking about how well they've been able to stop the run, but you do need to be able to stop the pass at some point. Xavien Howard, as you noted, you know, former All-Pro or Pro Bowl player, that's somebody that I think you could bring in and try to help stabilize that unit.
I'll ship them off to L.A. and the Chargers. I think the Chargers, they don't really have the money. I don't know how they're going to do this. I guess they did just restructure Joey Bosa, so maybe they freed some money up, but I feel like they could use some corner help, and so Xavien Howard can make some sense there trying to slow down Patrick Mahomes.
You could probably put the Steph Gilmore on the list as well. Wouldn't be shocking. You know, you could put the same teams in for Steph Gilmore. Like, you know, we're talking about former high level cornerbacks. Steph Gilmore played really well last year for Dallas.
Yeah, I think Gilmore could be a good guy for the Kansas City Chiefs, especially if they move on from Legarius Sneed, who's franchise tagged, wants to go win a Super Bowl, former defensive player of the year, former Super Bowl champion. That just feels like a type of Chiefs signing to bring him in and help fix that secondary, or at least solidify that secondary if they move on from Sneed.
That's spicy. I like that. We got a couple offensive linemen on here, Kevin Zeitler and Trent Brown. Breach, you have a child that's trying to talk to you?
Keep going.
Honestly, like, I'm curious. I'm surprised the Ravens haven't made a bigger effort to bring Kevin Zeitler back into Baltimore. We talked about this yesterday, but they must believe in those, like, the guys they drafted and being able to promote them up front. The Panthers already signed interior offensive linemen. So what do you think, Sully? Any spots for these offensive linemen, or we just move on to Marquise Brown?
Well, I'm thinking about Trent Brown, and I was trying to see – I wanted to just triple-check if there was a replacement in-house already for David Bakhtiari in Green Bay. If not, I think that makes a lot of sense. Trent Brown's kind of had an up and down – you know, I've seen him up here in New England. When he's on a good team and he's paid well, he plays really well. If he's on a bad team and is griping about his contract, well, then you might not get the best effort. I think the Packers, if they're able to pay him what he wants, they're a good enough team where you would get max effort from him. And when you get max effort from Trent Brown, he's a damn good tackle.
That's a good point. Yeah. When Trent Brown is, like, engaged and ready to roll, like, he's like an All-Pro tackle in New England. And then he goes to, like, the Oakland, like, pays him a ton of money. He's like,
And the thing is, too, he is a moose. I mean, every NFL player is massive, but this dude is massive. And I'm not a big guy at all. I've stood next to him at training camp. It is comical. It's crazy. We're even both humans. It's bananas.
I've got a picture of me next to Jonathan Ogden, and it's like the most. I mean, like, he's like 6'8" and 400 pounds, and I'm like he's like, I only come to his kneecap. It's crazy. It's like bananas. Yeah, it's hard to see. Yeah. All right. Finally, Marquise Brown, wide receiver. Anybody we think needs Arizona Cardinals? Anybody? Obviously, the Atlanta Falcons have already sort of put their hat in the ring for wide receivers. I guess you could see maybe Jacksonville or Carolina. I know we're talking about the Panthers again, but, like, they traded for Deontay Johnson, but he is easily cuttable. It wouldn't be surprising if either of those teams, you know, Jacksonville now, like, maybe they keep Zay Jones as a result of that deal, but they've got Christian Kirk as their one. I mean, I really think they were banking on Calvin Ridley coming back to Jacksonville and got caught off guard. So I think you could see them sort of reactionarily jump into the wide receiver market.
Yeah, I think any team that lost Calvin Ridley would be a team that would maybe pivot to more. That would make a little bit of sense. Brown, excuse me. Patriots, Jaguars, you can talk about the Panthers. You know what? I also wouldn't hate the Chicago Bears, too. You need to continue to add weapons if you're going to bring in Caleb Williams. He needs somebody to throw the football to. I think that would make a little bit of sense as well.
What about your Patriots, Sully? Are they done?
Yeah. No. I think that they absolutely should be going after any receiver. They need somebody, because you have Kendrick Bourne coming off a torn ACL. You got rid of Devontae Parker. You're trying to get rid of Juju Smith-Schuster. They have literally nobody. And at some point, I mean, we were just kind of talking about it. You're going to draft a quarterback at 3. You have a high second round pick. I think it's the number 2 overall pick in the second round. That has to be either a tackle or a wide receiver. And at a certain point, you're going to be thin at one of those spots, and that's not good for your young quarterback. So either find the tackle or the wide receiver in free agency and then use the other pick in the second round to fill that other need. whether it's wide receiver or tackle, I really don't care. It's just they need to find those players to fit in those slots.
I think Hollywood would be interesting with the Chiefs or the Jets.
Ooh.
Put them with Patrick Mahomes or our best friend, future Vice President Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man, that has really created some controversy out there. I think the Jets and the Chiefs are good calls, too, because it feels like – I mean, Garrett Wilson's obviously a superstar wide receiver already, and the Chiefs have Kelce and they have Rashee Rice, but – that speed component with a guy, you know, like you see the Falcons kind of doing it. They add Drake London as like the possession guy. And then I always love when teams take a speedy, like Marquise Brown can do a lot of different stuff, but he's really good in the screen game. He's really good if you get him downfield. And like, Andy Reid's a screen game master. And like, you give another vertical component to Patrick Mahomes. I think that makes a lot of sense. All right. It's that time of the day, the week again. We head to the darkest corner of the internet, the scariest place, basically our version of 4chan. It's Kicker Corner with Johnny Breach. Johnny Breach, tell us all about the weekend. We got two big pieces of news.
Slow Kicker Corner this week.
Man who kicked balls today, for a living.
It's like we got all this out the other day on Tuesday. Jake Elliott, I'm sure everyone has seen by now because you get your kicker alerts on your phone, I am guessing, has signed a four-year, $24 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, four-year extension. That is $6 million per year, which ties him with Justin Tucker as the highest paid kicker in NFL history. You might be thinking, why are they paying him as much as Justin Tucker? Is he as good as Justin Tucker? He has been pretty good over the years. Let me say this, that he is only one of four kickers in NFL history who has attempted at least 15 field goals in the playoffs and made all of them. He has never missed a field goal in the postseason. That's the kind of clutchness you need. He has two field goals of 61 yards or more in his career, so he has the distance. There are only two kickers in NFL history who have hit multiple 60-yarders without missing or multiple from 61 or more. And he's 9 of 9 in his career in the final 2 minutes or overtime. So he is clutch. So Jake Elliott definitely deserves the money. And of course, as I have mentioned on this podcast,
who drafted Jake Elliott?
Who drafted Jake Elliott? Old Jim Breach announced the pick when Jake was drafted by the Bengals, who then let him go. And he ended.
I mean, it's a good thing that Evan McPherson is a good kicker, because the notion of your dad announcing like this kicker, the Bengals letting him go, then him becoming like one of the best kickers of all time for another team in the NFL is like some dark, dark irony.
Yeah, it definitely worked out, but it would have been sad if they did not end up getting Evan McPherson. And then the other signing on this list is the Jets re-signing Thomas Morstead, which makes a lot of sense. Look, I mentioned this last week or earlier this week when they re-signed Greg Zuerlein. Aaron Rodgers literally went on one of his podcasts where they talk about conspiracy theories. But when they brought up free agency, he said, yeah, the two guys I want us to re-sign are Greg Zuerlein and Thomas Morstead. And the Jets have now re-signed Greg Zuerlein and Thomas Morstead. Morstead has been one of the best punters in the NFL for over a decade now. So this is a smooth move by the Jets, and I think a no-brainer. That is
Sully, Andy,
corner.
And that's Kicker Corner with Johnny Breach. Sully, any kicker thoughts?
I just sit back and watch Breach do his thing. It's like watching, you know, a maestro do a symphony. It's Da Vinci Paint. I literally went to the Sistine Chapel. It's basically what it is. Yeah. I literally was looking up, seeing the two, you know, God and whoever it is, they're both touching the finger.
I guess you didn't learn anything, because I think Michelangelo, did he do the Sistine Chapel?
Not Michelangelo. It's not God and Adam. Yeah. And whatever. Same thing. It was mixed between Guinness and Aperol Spritzes pretty much the whole time. So it was fine. No, it was beautiful. I will say that. It was beautiful. But it's basically like watching Breach do talk about kicking.
Yeah, that's right. Breach, Kicker Corner, never fails to disappoint. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. That's it for us this week. Barring a super crazy emergency, I will be back Monday, of course. For Sully, for Breach, I'm Brinson. Talk to you guys later.
Now, now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.